Listen, I know you've got exciting news, and it's in the Wall Street Journal today, and we'll tell them about where to locate it in the paper in a minute, but go ahead and let folks in on this news for A&M.
Well, this is really a huge announcement for A&M. It's something that A&M's been working on for a long time, and the governor's office has been involved in this. The Defense Advanced Research Programs Agency, known as DARPA in DOD, has announced that there's going to be a $40 million DARPA grant to A&M working in a private-public consortium to make 10 million doses of H1N1 virus in the first year. There will be a 145,000-square-foot facility built in Bryan. And, you know, what's so important about this, it just puts A&M one more time at the forefront of protecting Americans against whether it's terrorist attacks and the work done at NERTC or in this case against the flu virus, and really solidifies A&M as a national leader in homeland security issues.
The project's going to be called Green Vax, and details are on A6 in the Wall Street Journal this morning, and A&M and GCON will invest $21 million, it says. But anyway, that's obviously that was something I think that the Board of Regents talked about maybe about 3 or 4 months ago, and it was a little bit controversial, but the idea is to develop vaccines here, which certainly will be good.
You know, those vaccines, Scott, will end up saving untold numbers of lives around our country, and as you know, and as most Americans know, this past year we had a hard time getting enough vaccines made quickly, and this lab will be able to pump out other vaccines. This H1N1 vaccine isn't going to be the last vaccine, so this will be at the forefront of protecting millions of Americans from diseases, some of which could come naturally, some of which could be a biological attack. So it really is exciting news. Kudos to A&M, and I know the governor's office was involved through their investment fund, and so it was a great partnership effort.
Chet Edwards joining us from D.C. Of course, the new healthcare summit is coming up later on this week. Are we really? What do you think can come out of this? As a member of the Democrat Party, the Republicans obviously have been very standoffish. Do the Democrats go alone on this, or do they try to find some common ground with the Republicans in this summit?
Scott, if I had my way, we'd really work hard to find common ground, and I hope that's the effort at this summit. I hope it's not just posturing for the media on both sides. The healthcare issue is terribly important. There's a need for healthcare reform. We need to hold down cost increases and do something about the increasing number of millions of Americans without insurance. But, you know, the bills that went through the House and Senate were virtually passed on a partisan basis, and that leaves the American people in a divided situation, and it's so much better when you're dealing with big issues, reducing the deficit, protecting Social Security, dealing with health care. It really is important for the country to make these programs work, to have buy-in from all perspectives. So I hope we could find some common ground and find some areas where we can move forward. And I think one example would be, you know, saying that if you have a pre-existing condition or your child or your spouse does, you know, it shouldn't be virtually impossible for you to buy affordable health insurance. So those are the kind of common ground issues that we ought to build around.
Robert Gibbs said it yesterday. Steny Hoyer said it yesterday. Basically, the public option is dead. Is that a good thing in your view?
I think it is. I think the public option was one of the reasons I voted against the House bill. Not the only reason, but one of them. I think the idea of getting the federal government basically involved as a massive insurance company for healthcare purposes just was not going to work, and I don't think most of the American people like that idea. I think what Americans would like to see is more competition in healthcare insurance, not the government running it. And it's one of the reasons there's a major bill on the floor today that would repeal a 65-year exemption that the health insurance industry has had from antitrust laws. And I'm one of those that believes competition ultimately in the marketplace drives down cost and drives up quality. And there's really no reason the insurance company should play by a different set of rules than virtually every other commercial industry in the United States. Competition is good in the market system. And I think the encouraging competition approach is better than the public option of having a heavy-handed government role in this process.
Chet Edwards joining us from D.C. Now, it's been a couple of weeks, and I want to paraphrase basically what the president had said, and that was that to help stimulate business, he wanted to make sure that banks made available to small businesses loans more easily to, quote, help them stay afloat. Small business people have to think, if I'm making it right now, why would I want to put more debt on my back at this time? Wouldn't some sort of a tax reprieve, some tax holiday, work a whole lot better for the small business people of America?
You know, I think there are a lot of good options that ought to be considered for small businesses. There in the Recovery Act, there were actually some tax incentives for small businesses. And one of the proposals floating out there right now, Scott, is to provide a tax holiday on Social Security taxes for businesses, small businesses that hire new people. That's something we ought to look at. No, I don't think the government should try to force cram loans down anybody's throat. I will say one of the problems out there is what I'm hearing from small businesses is that the pendulum has swung too far the other way. For the last few years, we had had loans going out, really, in some cases, irresponsibly to people that shouldn't have gotten those loans. Now, good, legitimate, well-managed small family businesses are sometimes having a hard time, in fact, a lot of times these days, having a hard time getting loans. And somehow we need to be sure. The bankers tell me, the small community bankers tell me, the regulators have tightened the vise too much. So we need to find a middle ground balance there. And we won't have a full, sustained American economic recovery until small businesses are up and thriving and they can get the loans they need to run their business.
You personally like the tax holiday for small businesses?
I like the idea, but I will say, like every other bill that comes up, I'm going to ask how much it's going to cost. How much will it increase the deficit? And, you know, clearly in the short run, one of the quickest ways to reduce the deficit is to get this country out of the economic quagmire we've been in over the last 2 years. But, you know, I voted against the $154 billion jobs package in the House a number of weeks ago, I guess about 2 months ago, because I thought that was too much money added to the national debt. The Senate has a $15 billion jobs bill that does have this tax holiday idea in it. There were some Republicans, I think five Republicans joined other Democrats in voting for it. I will take a look at that. I'm glad it's a lot smaller measure than that. I think the $154 billion bill in the House was just too much and was going to add too much debt to the already high deficits.
Congressman Chet Edwards joins us when House is in session, and you can hear the entire interview on our website at WTAW.com. Thanks for the time.
Scott, thanks. Good to be with you.
You bet. Bye-bye now. Bye.